It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I'm being joined by super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He's in New York City. And I don't know where you're at, but happy Friday to you. I hope you're good. I hope you're well. We're going to be rolling here for the next 4 hours. This is when the show gets started. Every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. It has been a busy 24 hours. You can pretty much say that Detroit has been the centerpiece of it, especially with round one of the NFL draft in the books. We've had a lot of introductory press conferences today. Michael Penix Jr., yep, he was here in Atlanta and spoke to the media. Drake May, yep, he was up in New England, up in Foxborough. Spoke to everybody up there. Was quick to say, I'm not Tom Brady. Don't look for Tom Brady. That ain't me. And then we've had a variety of other players and QBs kind of talk, because this is what the draft was all about, right? Offense. Didn't have a defensive player taken until number 15, Mr. Latu, to the Indianapolis Colts. And so we got a stacked and packed show for you over the next 4 hours. Second round of the draft is going to be underway next hour. And so we'll have an opportunity to see if the Buffalo Bills actually make a smart decision, or whether they want to keep on trading down and down and down and down some more. Maybe they want to, you know, send the Kansas City Chiefs a cake, a wide receiver, a free vacation. I don't know. Maybe the Buffalo Bills are self-sabotaging themselves, for the playoffs next year. I have no idea. But the Buffalo Bills are still on the clock as of right now to start off the second round of the draft. Obviously, we'll keep you up to date with some of the larger moves. We had a great show last night, myself and Bart Winkler, as we broke down the draft and share the picks here with you live on the Infinity Sports Network. So we got a lot to talk about. We have a lot to do. And dare I say, yeah, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But there's playoff basketball. Like, Joel Embiid is pulling people out of the air. A dirty guy he is. And he has Bell's palsy. Like, wow. Man hasn't been able to blink in a couple of weeks. And it's just like, what? He had 50 points last night. Los Angeles Lakers in an 0-3 hole. And these are the shocking things. You focus in so much on football, right? I turn into the studio. Hickey, do you see the Indiana Pacers and the Bucks playing right now?
I do. This is a nice little treat, if you will. And Indiana playing well to start.
What the hell time did this game start? Like, what, 30 minutes ago? 5:30?
Well, I mean, 5:30 was the scheduled tip-off time, but it's on the four-letter network, so you could imagine.
They lied.
It did not start at 5:30.
Yeah, I didn't think. I knew this game was today. I never looked at the time. What the hell is going on in Indiana? They got it. What? There's four games tonight, right? I think.
I believe ESPN is a triple header.
Triple header.
So they're going to try to fit three games in at one time. So that is why Indiana, I guess you can say, got the short end of the stick with the early tip time.
Man, I can't remember the last time. I feel weird, right? Like, why the hell is there a basketball game on right now? But you take it where you can get it. We'll keep you updated on everything. Thank you to everybody listening on the free Odyssey app. We got folks tuned in and locked in on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliates. Thank you, coast to coast, all over North America. You can listen on Sirius XM channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, all you got to do is ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. We know the big stories from last night, right? I would say the largest story from last night was obviously Michael Penix Jr. getting taken at number 8 and not going later to like the Raiders, but to the Falcons, a team that just gave Kirk Cousins a new 4-year contract. I said, this is like just getting married and like 2 weeks later identifying someone who you want to be your mistress. Like, this is what the Atlanta Falcons did. They married Kirk Cousins, and then they found somebody on the side to potentially take his place. I know, one hell of a sports analogy, But this is basically what they did. And so we'll get more into this throughout the course of the show. A matter of fact, my main man, Randy McMichael from the Midday Show here in Atlanta, 92.9 The Game. He's going to come through in about 15 minutes and share with us his perspective. And then also, speaking of the Raiders, they ended up with Brock Bowers from right here in Georgia, and they already got a tight end. And so from one tight end, Randy Mack, who also happened to be a Georgia player, I want to ask Randy his thoughts on what the hell the Raiders are going to do. They're going to run out of two tight end set? We'll talk to Randy Mack about that in about 15 minutes. And, of course, we're going to talk about all the offense taken in the draft and the Chiefs getting their next Tyreek Hill because the Buffalo Bills wanted to do business with them. Why? I have no idea. That certainly didn't come from the Bill Belichick school of drafting. And then speaking of Belichick, and Belichick was on ESPN during the draft with Pat McAfee. And, yeah, we were on air, Hickey, but Bill Belichick was pretty cool. He wasn't in coach mode. He was like a regular human being.
The clips I saw, JR, I really hope he doesn't get another head coaching job. He was great. And I think we would really enjoy him as a broadcaster.
I think so. I enjoyed. I was like, oh, man, give me more. Everything that he said was fun. It was enjoyable. It was clear. Comes from one of the greatest coaching minds that the league has ever seen. I'm like, hey, sign me up for this. I guess when it comes to coaching, he's just a jerk. In other elements, he seems like a normal guy. I was like, wow, listen to Bill Belichick string some sentences together. And Damian Lillard, I guess whatever. Anyway, Indiana is leading 29-16 in the first quarter. Damian Lillard is hopping on one leg towards the bench. Exciting. Not if you're a Bucks fan. Not at all. Anyway, let's talk about some teams that actually got themselves some new talent. Let's hear from some players who have popped up in some new places. First of all, congratulations to Drake May out of North Carolina. This man is expected to be, at some point, the franchise quarterback for the New England Patriots. Drake May, he spoke to the media, he spoke to the public. Let me tell you what he said. I'm trying to be me, not the guy here a couple of years before me.
Tom Brady's the GOAT. Now, it's easy to say that. He's the best that ever played this game. I'm not going to be Tom Brady. So I'm just going to try to be Drake May. And from there, I'm just trying to learn from him, hopefully get to know him a little bit. And other than that, just try to soak it up and be a sponge and try to learn all I can from him. And he's the man in that town.
Yeah. Well, what else is he supposed to do? Everybody knows he's not going to be Tom Brady. And speaking of quips, Hickey, Bill Belichick had an interesting one. Bill Belichick, when Drake May, around the time before he was selected, Bill Belichick was like, hey, this guy Drake May keeps comparing himself to Josh Allen. And I guess in the most Bill Belichick way possible, Bill Belichick is just like, we'll see about that. And I'm like, well, damn, Bill Belichick got the darts out for some of these prospects, too. I like it.
He was not shy to criticize. Like, you could tell he did his homework. I give him a lot of credit. I mean, he was interviewing for jobs, 2 months ago? Didn't get one and just seems like dove right into the draft prep. And now he's breaking down Drake May film. And yeah, if you're a Patriots fan, actually, I don't know. How do you feel if you're a Patriots fan, JR? He's not done a great job, that is Bill, in the draft. So like, if he criticizes Drake May, does that mean that all of a sudden now Drake May is going to be Tom Brady 2.0?
Tom Brady? Explain that. What is a Tom Brady 2.0 thing?
Well, it's just more of a joke because Bill swung and missed on a lot of quarterbacks. And we're just a lot of offensive players in recent years. So it's like, if he's criticizing, saying, this player's not good, does that mean he's going to be the best thing since sliced bread?
Yeah, I don't. If you're a Patriots fan, realistically, can you be upset at him? Like, yeah, you can be upset after, the past couple of years and draft status. But when you look at the full body of work, if you're like, let's say you're a 30-year-old New England Patriots fan, 30 years and up, what are you complaining about with this? There's nothing to complain about. You probably have seen the best stretch in franchise history that you will see in your entire life. Am I supposed to think in the rest of my lifetime, I don't know how long that's going to be. I could be here another, 50, 60, 70 years, maybe. No, maybe not 70 years. But I don't expect to see the New England Patriots. I don't expect to see any team going on a run where they're like, hey, we got this on lock. We can compete for a Super Bowl for 20 years. I don't expect that with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs right now. And so, yeah, Bill Belichick being critical. Well, the Patriots fans, like, they need to be kissing his ass, Hickey. That's what they need to be doing.
Well, definitely if you're a Patriots fan, obviously no reason to have ill will towards Bill. I will say, there is a part of me that appreciates, like, the lack of complacency. Of just, like, because you're right. Like, you, no fan base will ever go through what the Patriots fan base just experienced the last two decades. Most likely. And so it's like, I kind of, in a way, respect the fact of, like, yeah, that was a great run, but what about tomorrow? Like, keep on going. I hate the Patriots. I hate their fans, to be honest, but
oh,
I do respect the fact that they're not fat cats right now sitting back saying, yeah, who cares? Six rings this, you know, dynasty there. We want to still compete. I like that.
Yeah, that is good. You have it's one thing to appreciate what has taken place, and it's another thing to just be obnoxious. I think most of the fan base understands, hey, you know, that was great, that was good. Now let's keep on moving. But part of that isn't, you know, beating down on Bill Belichick and what he's doing or what he's saying. Just leave that man alone. He's royalty. They're going to be honoring him. And yeah, so at least they'll be kissing his ass. But look, when you're a team and you go through big stretches, long stretches of success, like that's the expectations of the fan base. I mean, we still hear this from the Dallas Cowboys. And realistically, as nutty as it sounds, we're moving on 30 years. Hickey, can you believe that? We're moving on 30 years since they last won a championship. It doesn't even sound correct to me, but it's true. And the Cowboys fans still have ridiculous expectations. The New York Yankees, 2009, it's 2024. It's one thing to have expectations and want the next one. Sometimes you just got to realize, hey, it ain't for everybody. And so hopefully that's Drake May. He going to have to sit down for, I think, a year or maybe two, or maybe a year at most, maybe less than that, before I think he gets the reins. This is Gerard Mayo. This is the beginning for him. I don't think he wants to go out there, you know, tethered to a rookie QB who is not ready to play. But speaking of the Patriots, they hopefully have their future franchise quarterback, and they've had plenty of success over the past 30 years. Here's a team that's been around much longer than them. They don't have no damn championship. I'm talking about the Minnesota Vikings. If you can go out there and find me their Vince Lombardi NFL Super Bowl championship, help me. They won a championship pre-merger. They are still looking to get their hands on a Lombardi trophy, and they traded up one spot with the New York Jets to hopefully have their QB of the future. And he actually has experience winning a championship, at least at the college level. His name is J.J. McCarthy. He spoke to the media and he said, yeah, if I had one option, it'd be where I ended up.
First, obviously, just the organization's outstanding. And then you add the players and the pieces that are around it and the coaches and just everything about, you know, being in the Midwest is something that I always gravitate towards. And, you know, it was just the perfect fit for me. And, you know, I talked with a lot of the quarterbacks throughout this process, and it was the perfect fit for them, too. So, you know, just extremely blessed to be here. Obviously, it's a, you know, huge honor, and I hope to just, you know, prove them right.
Okay. No, don't hope. Just do it. You're the man who has some say-so in the thing. Just don't hope. Do it. You know, Caleb Williams went one, and Jaden Daniels went two, Drake May. We had to wait a little while, and we got to Michael Penix. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Got J.J. McCarthy. And then the next quarterback, the sixth one, was Bo Nix to Denver. Sean Payton just brought in Zach Wilson. He has Stidham. Ben DiNucci is probably going to get the boot sooner than later. But, man, why the hell are you bringing in Bo Nix? You think he's going to throw another 45 touchdowns like he did at Oregon? Probably not. Sean Payton spoke to Pat McAfee, and he talked about why he loves this man so much.
He's super intelligent. We have his center from a year ago, Alex Forsythe, who's very smart. And the thing that we kept finding with him, first on third down, first with fewest sacks, the most accurate passer in college football history. First at the end of the half, 2 minutes. First at the end of the game in 2 minutes. Second in red zone. Fewest sacks. First in time to get. So, number one, he's extremely smart. He handles the protections, and he's a tough sack. His arm strength was extremely impressive.
All right, Hickey, how long before he moves his locker room into the, I don't know, the garage? Right? He going to make this man cry. He going to make this grown man cry.
That's at least you have to worry about that, having his locker room in the office upstairs with the coaches.
Oh, no, none of that Russell Wilson stuff, huh?
No, I don't think Bo Nix will be going into the office day one and saying, all right, I'm up here, right, in the C-suite?
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Look, I'm just waiting for the moment that Sean Payton is just cursing somebody out on the sidelines. He's still trying to find success since some guy named Drew Brees decided to walk off into the sunset. Good luck to Bo Nix. Maybe Bo Nix and Zach Wilson can share horror stories in the locker room, because dealing with Sean Payton as the losses probably likely start to pile up, it ain't going to be fun. Not by a long shot. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're just getting started. We got more to do, more to discuss. Yes, there's some basketball that we'll sprinkle in as these Pacers are here, and Damian Lillard had a nasty, disgusting ankle sprain. We'll talk about the loser Lakers. We'll break down some of the draft picks as they happen. The Buffalo Bills are on the clock. That second-round pick should come in about 45 minutes from now. But on the other side of this break, we're going to have a conversation with my main man, Randy McMichael, former NFL tight end, former Georgia Bulldog, and current host on 92.9 The Game here in Atlanta, Georgia, where the Atlanta Falcons just had one of the most mind-boggling draft selections in recent memory, drafting Michael Penix Jr. after signing Kirk Cousins. We're going to hear from Randy Mack on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Happy Friday on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
We're about 40 minutes away from the start of the second round of the NFL draft. Yesterday, everything pretty much went to plan, right? Until the Falcons said, hey, we'll take another quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. Whole country had to go, oh, what the hell was that about? Well, Michael Penix Jr. was introduced to the media here in Atlanta. Terry Fontenot has spoken. People in Atlanta have spoken, and the country is like, what the hell are they doing in the A? To talk about it right now, we're being joined by an 11-year NFL vet, former Georgia Bulldog. He's now a host on 92.9 The Game, middays here in Atlanta, Georgia. Andy Bunker, my main man, Randy Mack. Randy McMichael, how you doing, man?
What up, Jay? What's going on, baby? I think the thing is, because you in Atlanta right now, so you know how Atlanta's doing right now. So the first question should not be, how's Atlanta doing? You know how we do it up there, man. But, yeah, as always, brother, it's a pleasure. I appreciate you having me on, man.
Of course. I know things. They made the selection, and everybody had to go, what? You know, what are they doing? Look, I don't think anybody has a problem with Michael Penix Jr. as the quarterback, but right. it's the idea of almost – like trying to prioritize now and the future. Didn't you bring in Cousins to win now? Can't you worry about the quarterback, like, I don't know, a year or two from now? I don't know.
I think, JR, the biggest thing is exactly what you said, is the win now and for later. Because you look at this team, you go get a Kirk Cousins. You don't get a Kirk Cousins because you're trying to rebuild. You get a Kirk Cousins and give him the contract that he got because you're trying to win right now. And that's the thing that they're trying to do, right. Okay, so then you look at it from a standpoint, you have a top 10 pick to be able to go and get an immediately impactful player right there. And then you go get a guy that might not play for 3 years. And so when you look at those two things, you get up in arms about it. I'm not as up in arms, JR, because I love Michael Penix. I love this pick, but I go back to what you just said previously. I'm confused because why did you go get Kirk Cousins and give him all that money? What was the timeline? Did you know you were going to get Michael Penix? Did you know you wanted to get a younger quarterback at 8? There's so many. Those are the things that I have questions about, is the timeline of how this happened.
Yeah, and Randy, this is going to be genius if Kirk Cousins goes down at some point in the season and Penix saves him, or I don't know. There's a possibility that this works out sooner than later. I mean, what are the realistic odds that Penix is sitting around for the next, I don't know, 3 years? Highly unlikely, right?
They better hope he does. They better hope that the Falcons and Falcon fans and everybody in the league don't see. Only time you get to see Michael Penix is in a blowout or in preseason. No. You invested too much money in Kirk Cousins for him not to be the starter for the next 2 years at least. Because if that's the case, then Ra and Terry won't get to see their first-round quarterback pick play because they're going to lose their job. Me and Andy here in Atlanta, me and Andy Bunker, we have a saying that's saying with the chest. If you listen to the whole thing, the whole presser last night, Raheem said this. He said, "We picked him because we don't intend being here anymore." All right. Basically, what they're saying is that with the team that we have now, we don't need a first-round defensive end. We don't need a first-round cornerback. We are where we are, and we can add a corner, a edge rusher, and other things after the first round because this is how good we are. And you know what? This is how good a coaches that we are that we're going to get the best out of this team. So, yeah, Michael Penix needs to play in preseason and in a blowout. maybe take a knee at the end of a game or something. But him playing, that might be disastrous for them if it doesn't go well with Kirk Cousins.
Randy McMichael is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Was this selection almost like market correction? Were the Falcons so bruised over the past several years, moving on from Matt Ryan, Chasen Watson, having a look at Ridder and Heinicke? Is this like a I don't want to say desperation, but is this like, hey, we're a wounded animal, now we got to strike?
Well, I think the thing with it, Jay, is that I think the one thing that you look at when you look at this whole process is go back to a certain amount of things that the owner, Arthur Blank, was saying. He said that the Super Bowl needed a succession plan, long-term answer quarterback, because you think about it, Jay, for 13 to 14 years, he had consistent quarterback play. He knew that for the most part, they were not going to lose because they had bad quarterback play. In the last 3 years, Mr. Blank looked at it like, damn, the quarterback play is raggedy, and we got to get back here. I don't ever want to be back at this situation again. I'm not saying that Arthur Smith drove this pick. Now, I do believe Arthur Blank drove the pursuit of Deshaun Watson. I don't think that was the case here, but I do think that it was a collaborative effort that they want to get better for the future because they look at it from a standpoint like Ross said last night. We're never going to be here again. We're never going to have an opportunity at a player like this again at the most important position in football, so let's take him because you know what? We got a good quarterback right now. We got a good enough football team to compete. Let's just add some more parts, and there's also the point where, you know, by the time – Kirk's done, and all the young stars like Bijan and Drake and all those that, they'll be coming up for new deals. And then Michael Penix will be on a rookie contract. I know that sounds funny, but, hey, Jay, I'm trying to spin it any way I can.
I understand that. 11-year NFL vet Randy McMichael is here with us. Outside of the Falcons, any other moves that took place last night that kind of caught your attention, whether for a good or bad reason?
I think, you know, the first defensive player going at 14, you know, I mean, I think it was a big thing to go out there and get all these offensive players. I mean, the tackles went off. Of course, obviously, the quarterbacks went off. I thought that Denver reached for Bo Nix, but I hope I'm wrong because I want everybody to succeed. I think they were just desperate right there at 12, even though I had them in my own mock grabbing him at 12. I think that the Vegas Raiders, I love Brock Bowers, and I think that's a great pick, but I think they got to a point, J.R., where they were like, damn, all the quarterbacks are gone. What are we going to do now? Let's take the best player available because I know for a fact they were calling Atlanta trying to get up to at least get Michael Penix there. I had it in my mock as they traded with Atlanta from 13 to 8 to get Michael Penix, but obviously that didn't happen. But I think that was my biggest thing outside of, you know, maybe, you know, where the tackles went. I think Joe Alt is going to be a C.J. Latham, don't know a lot about him. Is he going to play right? Is he going to play left? Are they going to play him at guard? But I just thought overall the biggest thing was the Michael Penix thing.
Well, Randy, man, you talk about the Raiders and tight end. You played tight end in the league. That was your position.
Just like our
guy Brock, you went to Georgia. How is he in a good situation? They already got a tight end in Meyer. How is that going to work out? They're going to run two tight end sets out there?
Yeah, well, JR, you can never have enough tight ends on the field, my dog. I mean, that's how I'm speaking about it. I think one of the things about Brock is his versatility. Now, Meyer, I loved him coming out of college, and I think that he is a big-time player. He's a wide tight end that can do some things. And what I mean by wide tight end, a guy who can be attached to the tackle for the most part and run routes and block and all those different things. Brock Bowers, you can put him anywhere on the field, he's going to get busy. You know, a lot like how, and I heard Napoleon, you know, I know he ain't, you know, he is what he is, you know, he's a little old school and all that. But he did make a great point. I thought about it, thinking about a tight end in my era, Dallas Clark. Dallas Clark was so prolific at what he did. Now, Dallas can't run with the ball like Brock can, but as far as lining him up in that slot and letting him do his thing, I can see Brock Bowers doing a lot of those things that Dallas did.
Randy McMichael is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, we're going to move through this the second round. We're then going to get into camps, and there's so many expectations around the quarterback. Six of them of that were taken. What quarterback do you think is going to end up with the highest ceiling? Who has the ability to be the best out of this group?
It better be Michael Dan Penix, JR. You know, because we know other six, you know, three of them are going to be busts. One of them's going to be a franchise. One might be all right, and another one's going to be a backup. That's just the way it goes. Yeah. And, you know, I think Caleb has so many special tools. And he's going to a very good situation because very rarely do you see a team, JR, that's 7-9, that gets the number one overall pick. And that goes into a situation where you got a Keenan Allen, where you got an established number one receiver, where you got a good back, a nice offensive line, good defense. All he has to do is just grow with it and not try to do too much. I love me some Jay Daniel. I just do, JR. I love everything about his game, his versatility, his ability to throw off, you know, different platforms, him running the football the way he does. So I'm going to go with probably Jaden Daniels, you know, because he was my favorite quarterback in this draft. But it better be them. It's living here in Atlanta, JR, and having to deal with these Falcon fans, it better be Michael Penix Jr.
I hear that, Randy. Listen, Roger Goodell did some talking between last night and today. One of the points that he made is about expanding, and we knew it was coming, expanding the regular season again, this time to 18 games, maybe even pushing the Super Bowl back to President's Day weekend. Man, you played 11 years, you got your bumps, you got your bruises, you played your whole life before you got to the league in college. What is an 18-game season and two preseason games going to do to the NFL? Does it even matter about the preseason?
No, it does not. First of all, the Super Bowl thing should always be on President's Day because nobody should have to work Monday after a Super Bowl. I just always have believed that. But the second thing is this, JR, they don't care. These folks don't, these owners don't care. Now, the one thing that the owners did, and you remember, you know, you had to pay pretty much full price tickets for the preseason game, that fourth game that ain't nobody going to. Mm-hmm. And if you're a season ticket holder, you gotta pay for those to get your season tickets. So as long as they're reducing the preseason. The thing with the preseason is this. I hated the preseason. I hated playing it, but I know I need to play in it, you know, because it gets you in that little rhythm. You keep reducing all of the things that make football the fundamentals themselves. Practicing, tackle, not necessarily tackling, JR, but hitting each other, putting pads on. They're taking that out of the game because they want more of the finished product, rightfully so, because that's, JR, what is that probably per weekend? $200 million? Mm-hmm. That's maybe like $200 million for the NFL to play that extra game. So, yeah, the one thing I don't want to hear about, and people have said it, I don't want to hear about no player safety or none of that. Don't want to hear about it. I saw today, JR, they're reading it. They're talking about having people wear them guardian caps in football games.
Yeah, they're allowed now. Yeah,
that's what I'm like, what the hell's going on? You know, I know me. I want to be smooth. I don't want that thing on my helmet. But that's where the NFL is going because that concussion lawsuit spooked them. And it made the point, okay, we can't give them no more money, but yet you're going to put us in more football games. Don't want to give people benefits after they're done playing. Make it hard as hell for these players to get their workers' comp benefits, but yet you want to just keep putting them out there in a situation where they're going to have to play. So, yeah, that's how I look at it.
Well, listen, Randy, you played in the league. I got a lot of friends who played in the league. I sure as hell did not. And I wish I was joking about this. With some of the rule changes that we have had, some of the rule changes that are taking place now, you know, like with the kickoff and what have you, what realistically, and it might be impossible to guess, but what is this game going to look like? And I say, I don't know, another 30 years, 35 years. Like, is it really going to be you got to shove them to the ground? You can't grab them? Like, are you concerned about that?
No, I don't want to say I'm concerned about it, Jay. I just think that when you view the way, because I'm an offensive player. I've always been an offensive player. And I know, you know, earlier this offseason, they banned that hip drop tackle. I was hip drop tackle and broke my leg. And so I don't give a damn. I get rid of it. that's just me as an offensive player, how I view things like that. But then you look at the long run of it, it's hard as, because people, you remember that line, JR, in Any Given Sunday, Tony, people want to see touchdowns. They want to see, that's what they want to see. They want to see the touchdowns. They want to see the offense and everything like that. And so they try to gear the game as much as possible to that. And so as long as they keep doing that, people aren't going to be able to hear each other.
Yeah, things change. Times change. That much we know. Hey, Randy, I appreciate you taking the time to hop on. I'm sure we'll talk again later this year when Penix takes the job away from Mr. Cousins.
Come on, man.
JR,
it's a sensitive time here. It's sensitive. All right? It's sensitive. Don't do that.
I'm saying. Where can people keep up with you? I know you're on the middays, Andy and Randy. Where can people follow you online, all that good stuff, Matt?
Oh, man. I'm Randy Mac 81 at all Twitter, Instagram, everything like that, man. Just give me a holler. I'm sorry, but I got my 2-year-old here. We just pulled up to his favorite place, so he just decided to get out the car, man.
Hey, that's how it rolls. We'll do a play date soon, Mac. I'll catch you soon, okay?
All right, my family. You be good, bro.
My man, Randy McMichael. Hilarious. 11-year NFL vet, Georgia Bulldogs, played with the Dolphins, played with the Bolts, and now is a midday host with my other main man, Andy Bunker. Andy Randy Middays. Thank you so much, Randy McMichael. Yeah, that's the hype. People are going to be Hickey. People are going to talk about this here until Penix is on the field. That's just what it is. The Falcons said, screw everybody. We going to just, this like Cartman, Eric Cartman from South Park. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want.
I told Randy when I gave him a call to get him on the show, I said, you are set now for years in terms of content we're talking about on the show. This is gold for radio.
Yeah, this is. Yeah, we got our, I don't know, what's radio gold? And we got our Tom Brady, we got our Michael Jordan, we got our New York Yankees. Hey, Falcons gave everybody something new to complain about. And here in Atlanta, we are going to revel in this. And the fans, they're going to tear this apart. Thank you so much to the Atlanta Falcons. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back from break, I want to congratulate somebody. I'm going to congratulate the Kansas City Chiefs. I will tell you why. You just heard from Randy Mack, the NFL changing up some rules again. We'll talk about that.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227 is the number. It's 855-212-4227. Thank you so much to Randy McMichael, radio host here in Atlanta, 92.9 The Game, 11-year NFL vet, for joining us in the last break to talk about the NFL draft, everything from the Raiders and what they just did and bringing in Brock Bowers to, of course, Michael Penix Jr. in the same quarterback room as Kirk Cousins. We don't have to wait too much longer. In about 15 minutes, the Buffalo Bills will be on the clock for the second round of the NFL draft. Now, they traded back twice last night, even gifting the Kansas City Chiefs a new speedy wide receiver. We'll go ahead and talk about that in a bit. We'll definitely let you know what the Buffalo Bills decide to do at the top of the hour once they do it. And then we'll continue on with the show. If you want to reach out to me, besides the phone number, you can find me online. I am at JR Sport Brief. That is at JR Sport Brief everywhere on the internet. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Tennessee and let's talk to Amos. Amos, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. What's up?
Hey, JR. Just to let you know, there aren't many Falcons fans out there. And a reason why is because this organization has become such a mockery of itself, especially within the last 20 years. Who the hell are they to say, oh, we'll never be back drafting in this position again this high, so we want to go ahead and get our successor right now? Yeah, okay, you know who that works out for? Green Bay, New England. You know, they drafted their replacements and their proteges, but they have a history of winning. And so I'm not going to buy that comment. Two things cannot be true in this situation. They cannot, A, be planning for the future, and B, be planning to win right now. If they were planning to win right now, JR, they have not had a defender in double digits and sacks.
John Abraham.
Vic Beasley.
Vic.
Beasley.
Yeah, he's a quitter, yeah, you're right, Vic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he looked up and he did it in 2016, but nobody else has done it since. Jared Verse from Florida State would have been a much viable more option, much more viable option with that pick. Do you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, man. Did you hear the draft show last night? You should see my social media. I killed them for what they did. It just, it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. Like, I understand if you want to get a quarterback. I understand if you want Michael Penix Jr. But what are you doing? Like, there's a point in time where you got to worry. Look, teams need to worry about now and the future. And it seems like in this draft, the Atlanta Falcons had more of a knee-jerk reaction to what has just taken place instead of worrying about the right now. So now they're thinking about the future. Try to win with Kirk Cousins and worry about the QB later. It's a waste, if you ask me. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And they never have, because of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, they have not had draft cap space in a long time. And they finally have some cap space, and they finally made some moves, which, you know, I applaud them for going out and getting all those offensive weapons, those playmakers, those skill guys at receiver, and then going to get Kirk Cousins. Okay, I can understand that. $100 million guaranteed? All right, okay, I guess I get it. But then you go and get Michael Penix. What are they doing?
Yeah, they need to, quote-unquote, walk the line. And I know this predates Terry Fontenot, but when you think about having Matt Ryan, holding on to him a little too long, then flirting openly with Deshaun Watson, turning off Matt Ryan to the point where he's like, okay, you don't want me, I want out, losing out on Deshaun Watson because the Browns decided to throw him the bag, being stuck with Ritter, and then having Heinicke, this is all a correction in one swoop from the past several years, and it is unfair to the team that's actually on the field right now. Play to win, okay? You bring in Kirk Cousins. Yes, we know he's coming off of an Achilles tear, but go out there and roll the dice with the talent. If you didn't feel that damn comfortable with giving him the money, then you shouldn't have done it. And the fact is, look, if Penix plays, that's going to mean that the Falcons have a different type of disaster on their hands. They have created unnecessary rancor for the next several years, and it's not needed. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, and thank you, Amos, for calling from Tennessee. You know, people want to take a look at what the Packers have done. Oh, well, they had Jordan Love and they had Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. I know the postseason record ain't all that sterling, and the last couple of years were a disaster, at least from him. Thing opened up his mouth outside the MVP years. And it went at the end. But that was a winning man. That was a future Hall of Fame quarterback. It's not like Kirk Cousins been here and they're thinking about the future. It's like the Falcons have been winning and now they're thinking about the future. Have some success first. Like, win something right now. Win something today. And then have that. And don't tell me about Brett Favre, because you know what? He was a winner too. The Falcons just brought this guy in the building, Kirk Cousins. And they're already moving on. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. Lou is here from New York. Lou, go ahead quickly. You're on the Infinity Sports Network.
Yeah, JR, I wanted to call you. Thanks for taking the call. I don't think that the Bills gifted Kansas City anything worthy. He does have exceptional 4-2-1 speed, but his body makeup will really test him in the NFL. I don't think he's going to succeed. Bills have better options in the second round, namely in Jalen McMillan and Kez Walker, who would be better X receivers or true wide receivers than would Worthy. Worthy does have the speed. Maybe Kansas City is trying to recreate what they had with who's the guy they traded to?
Tyreek. He didn't trade. He decided to. And Lou, thank you for calling from New York. You got an echo there. His name's Tyreek Hill. He decided to take $30 million per year to join the Miami Dolphins. Oh, how about this? Hickey, do you see Caitlin Clark throwing out T-shirts at the Pacers game?
I do. Genius move.
It's 67-55, the Pacers lead Milwaukee right now. Their series is tied at 1-1. Caitlin Clark is actually going to be, I think this weekend, they start training camp because the WNBA season gets started in a couple of weeks. It time flies, folks. We just had the WNBA draft. NFL draft is going on right now. And I want to talk a little bit more about the Buffalo Bills. He just mentioned them and our caller. And the way he talked about them, Lou from New York, he made it sound like this was the Buffalo Bills intended to sabotage the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's trade the pick so they can get a wide receiver that's going to fall apart. Mwahahahaha. Like, nah, man, that's not how the world works. They probably gave the Chiefs a dude. Well, they did give the Chiefs a guy who was a straight burner on the field. A 4.240? What? You don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to work with that guy? Come on now. And, oh, yeah, he's going to stay that small forever. I think he'll be okay. All right? It's the JR Sportbeat Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, let's talk about the Buffalo Bills when we come back on the other side of the break. They're going to be on the clock. A matter of fact, they're on the clock now. What are they going to do with the first selection in the second round? We'll find out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227 is the number. It's 855-212-4227. Thank you so much to Rainey McMichael, radio host here in Atlanta, 92.9 The Game, 11-year NFL vet, for joining us in the last break to talk about the NFL draft, everything from the Raiders and what they just did and bringing in Brock Bowers to, of course, Michael Penix Jr. in the same quarterback room as Kirk Cousins. We don't have to wait too much longer. In about 15 minutes, the Buffalo Bills will be on the clock for the second round of the NFL draft. Now, they traded back twice last night, even gifting the Kansas City Chiefs a new speedy wide receiver. We'll go ahead and talk about that in a bit. We'll definitely let you know what the Buffalo Bills decide to do at the top of the hour once they do it. And then we'll continue on with the show. If you want to reach out to me, besides the phone number, you can find me online. I am at JR Sport Brief. That is at JR Sport Brief everywhere on the internet. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Tennessee and let's talk to Amos. Amos, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. What's up?
Hey, JR. Just to let you know, there aren't many Falcons fans out there. And a reason why is because this organization has become such a mockery of itself, especially within the last 20 years. Who the hell are they to say, oh, we'll never be back drafting in this position again this high, so we want to go ahead and get our successor right now? Yeah, okay, you know who that works out for? Green Bay, New England. You know, they drafted their replacements and their proteges, but they have a history of winning. And so I'm not going to buy that comment. Two things cannot be true in this situation. They cannot, A, be planning for the future, and B, be planning to win right now. If they were planning to win right now, yeah, JR, they have not had a defender in double digits in sacks.
John Abraham.
Vic Beasley. Vic Beasley.
Yeah, he's a quarter, yeah, you're right, Vic.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So he looked up and he did it in 2016, but nobody else has done it since. Jared Verse from Florida State would have been a much more viable option with that pick. Do you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, man. Did you hear the draft show last night? You should see my social media. I killed them for what they did. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. Like, I understand if you want to get a quarterback. I understand if you want Michael Penix Jr. But what are you doing? Like, there's a point in time where you got to worry. Look, teams need to worry about now and the future. And it seems like in this draft, the Atlanta Falcons had more of a knee-jerk reaction to what has just taken place instead of worrying about the right now. So now they're thinking about the future. Try to win with Kirk Cousins and worry about the QB later. It's a waste, if you ask me. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And they never have, because of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, they have not had draft cap space in a long time. And they finally have some cap space, and they finally made some moves, which, you know, I applaud them for going out and getting all those offensive weapons, those playmakers, those skill guys at receiver, and then going to get Kirk Cousins. Okay, I can understand that. $100 million guaranteed. All right, okay, I guess I get it. I guess I get it. But then you go and get Michael Penix. What are they doing?
Yeah, they need to, quote-unquote, walk the line. And I know this predates Terry Fontenot, but when you think about having Matt Ryan holding on to him a little too long, then flirting openly with Deshaun Watson, turning off Matt Ryan to the point where he's like, okay, you don't want me, I want out. Losing out on Deshaun Watson because the Browns decided to throw him the bag. Being stuck with Ritter and then having Heinicke. This is all a correction in one swoop from the past several years. And it is unfair to the team that's actually on the field right now. Play to win. Okay, you bring in Kirk Cousins. Yes, we know he's coming off of an Achilles tear, but go out there and roll the dice with the talent. If you didn't feel that damn comfortable with giving him the money, then you shouldn't have done it. And the fact is, look, if Penix plays, that's going to mean that the Falcons have a different type of disaster on their hands. They have created unnecessary rancor for the next several years, and it's not needed. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, and thank you, Amos, for calling from Tennessee. You know, people want to take a look at what the Packers have done. Oh, well, they had Jordan Love and they had Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. I know the postseason record ain't all that sterling, and the last couple of years were a disaster, at least from him. Thing opened up his mouth outside the MVP years. And it went at the end. But that was a winning man. That was a future Hall of Fame quarterback. It's not like Kirk Cousins been here and they're thinking about the future. It's like the Falcons have been winning and now they're thinking about the future. Have some success first. Like, win something right now. Win something today. And then have that. And don't tell me about Brett Favre, because you know what? He was a winner too. The Falcons just brought this guy in the building, Kirk Cousins. And they're already moving on. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. Lou is here from New York. Lou, go ahead quickly. You're on the Infinity Sports Network.
Yeah, JR, I wanted to call you. Thanks for taking the call. I don't think that the Bills gifted Kansas City anything worthy. He does have exceptional 4-2-1 speed, but his body makeup will really test him in the NFL. I don't think he's going to succeed. Bills have better options in the second round, namely in Jalen McMillan and Kez Walker, who would be better X receivers or true wide receivers than would Worthy. Worthy does have the speed. Maybe Kansas City is trying to recreate what they had with who's the guy they traded to?
Tyreek. He didn't trade. He decided to. And Lou, thank you for calling from New York. You got an echo there. His name's Tyreek Hill. He decided to take $30 million per year to join the Miami Dolphins. Oh, how about this? Hickey, do you see Caitlin Clark throwing out T-shirts at the Pacers game?
I do. Genius. Genius move.
It's 67-55, the Pacers lead Milwaukee right now. Their series is tied at 1-1. Caitlin Clark is actually going to be, I think this weekend, they start training camp because the WNBA season gets started in a couple of weeks. It's time flies, folks. We just had the WNBA draft. NFL draft is going on right now. And I want to talk a little bit more about the Buffalo Bills. He just mentioned them and our caller. And the way he talked about them, Lou from New York, he made it sound like this was the Buffalo Bills intended to sabotage the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's trade the pick so they can get a wide receiver that's going to fall apart. Mwahahahaha. Like, nah, man, that's not how the world works. They probably gave the Chiefs a dude. Well, they did give the Chiefs a guy who was a straight burner on the field. A 4.240? What? You don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to work with that guy? Come on now. And oh, yeah, he's going to stay that small forever. I think he'll be okay. All right? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, let's talk about the Buffalo Bills when we come back on the other side of the break. They're going to be on the clock. A matter of fact, they're on the clock now. What are they going to do with the first selection in the second round? We'll find out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.